The Hosham Rural City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wotjobaluk Wagai, Djapagol Jadwa and Jadwajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to the elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in the spirit of mutual understanding and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Please be seated. Welcome, councillors, staff, members of the gallery and the media to our council meeting. My name is Councillor Robin Galeen, Mayor of Horsham Rural City Council. I advise that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to maintain an audio archive that will be uploaded to the Horsham Rural City Council website as soon as possible. I remind members of the gallery that you are observers and not participants in tonight's meeting. Please show your respect by remaining quiet and seated. Councillors, we're all here, so there are no apologies. Do I have any requests for leave of absence? No. Confirmation of the minutes. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? And the correct version is on the screen. Do I have anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bell.
City Council 5:30 p.m. on the 25th of October be adopted.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion? Councillor Flynn. All those in favour? Thank you. That is carried. Are there any conflicts of interest to declare for tonight's meeting? No. Thank you. Item 8 is public question time. We have a number of public questions tonight. Angela Munn of Horsham has submitted two questions, the first being, if it is necessary to increase the cost of waste disposal by a minimum $10 per ratepayer while simultaneously reducing the size and frequency of our garbage collection services, how is it then ethical to spend so much of ratepayers' money on a nice-to-have project at the River Precinct when you can't afford existing basic services such as waste collection and the actual construction, repair and upkeep of HRCC roads, footpaths and the services of residents, especially in Northern Horsham, in a timely manner? Mr. Martin, would you please provide a reply?
Proposed to change Council's curbside waste collection services is driven by the Victorian Government's new recycling policy, which requires Council to introduce both an organics and glass collection service. In terms of overall capacity, there will be an increase in the volume of bin collections available to residents in each four-week period, as the reduction in collection of combined waste will be more than offset by the increased capacity associated with the two new bins. It should be noted that Council's waste services, including garbage collection, transfer station operations and landfill management, are funded by waste charges and not general Council rates. Similarly, there is no transfer of funds from the waste service back to other Council projects not related to waste.
Question two, why were the questions I submitted last month in the required form and format not answered at the meeting? Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thanks for your question. The matters you raised in the questions submitted as public questions at the last council meeting are to be debated tonight under agenda item 9.8. Response will be provided after decisions made in regards to the proposed new local law.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. We have two questions from Kim Adams of Horsham. Question one, how will you now answer the public questions you couldn't answer last meeting related to the local law review? Mr. O'Brien, would you answer that question, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Kim, for your question.
The matters you raised in the questions submitted as public questions at the last council meeting are to be debated tonight under agenda item 9.8. A response will be provided after a decision is made in regards to the proposed new local law.
O'Brien. Question two, what is the justification for the proposed restriction on shipping containers? What is the harm caused by them and how is it determined to be greater than the benefit of than the benefit to those using them? Mr. O'Brien, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The containers are allowed subject to a planning and or building permit depending on the proposed use.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. I have two questions from Terry O'Donnell. Why were submissions 77 and 78 singled out, reviewed differently and not being provided equal weighting to the other submissions or having the full submission dealt with according to the Act? Mr. O'Brien, would you provide a response, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Terry, for your question. Your submission has not been treated differently to any other submissions. It has been provided to Council in full and has been considered as part of the process of developing the new proposed local law 2021. Council has a full copy of for section 223 clause 1D of the written submissions of each of the submissions, including submitters 77 and 78. Submitters 77 and 78 have each been provided with a letter to advise their written submission comprising an annotated copy of proposed Community Local Law 2021 and the notes provided you in our meeting on the Thursday, the 29th of July 2021 at the Civic Centre. Is included in, it's also, your submission is also included in Council's record system rectifying. Each letter provides the EDOC number of the annotated copy of proposed Community Local Law 2021 and the notes provided in the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Question two, how does Council believe that the draft local laws and the final version are essentially the same when you consider the level of amendment to the original proposal and the changed enforcement power that entails? Mr. O'Brien, would you please provide a response?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The changes since submission closed on the 2nd of August 2021 are minor, having regard to the ministerial guidelines, because the local law as attachment 9.8A is essentially the same as that advertised and made available, and the purpose and general purport remain accurately stated in the invitation for public submissions.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. I now have two public questions from Kath Dummersney of Horsham. Question one. Last month, we were getting a lawyer to sign off on our local laws. Councillor Flynn asked that question and was given an affirmative answer. Why then are we not now being afforded the protections from litigation? Could this have serious issues in the future for HRCC and ratepayers? How and why did this change from what was put up last month? Mr. O'Brien, would you please provide a response?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Council has obtained legal advice throughout the local law review process and are comfortable that it complies with the legislative requirements.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Question two. How has the City Oval Sawyer Park project gone from a total of $34 million down to $17 million? It appears to me that to have that much of a discrepancy, then we either have serious flaws in our costing for projects or there has been an awful lot left out to be added at a later stage. Which is it? Mr. O'Brien, would you please provide a response?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. After reviewing the initial cost estimations, it was determined that these were based on inaccurate assumptions by a cost estimator not familiar with Horsham's costs and standards for such a redevelopment. The new estimates reflect Council's proposed standards and better reflect local cost estimations for such works.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Councillors, we go to officer reports now, and I'd like to just remind you of my proposed change for our questioning strategy for tonight's meeting. Prior to each of these council reports, each council will have the opportunity to ask one relevant subject matter question or seek clarification prior to that motion being moved. Questioning or challenging the CEO's or director's response will not be permitted. Supplementary questions will not be allowed. No subject matter questions will be permitted at any time, other time, including during councillor speaking time. If there is a point raised during councillor speaking time that I believe needs clarification, I will ask the CEO or relevant director to provide a response at the conclusion of the councillor speaking time. So councillors, pardon?
Governor's rules is a question of procedure, and I believe you don't have the delegated authority or executive powers to change our governance rules, and the Act clearly states to change governance rules we need community consultation, and I believe a motion from council.
I'm not changing the governance rules. Councillors are still entitled to ask a question, and the answer, asking of questions is at the discretion of the chair. So, councillors, 9.1 concept plan for the City Oberlin site.
Mayor, that is your ruling?
Yes, that is my ruling, Councillor Ross.
I'd like to move a motion of dissent. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
You may do that, Councillor Ross.
Thank you.
You may move your motion of dissent, please, Councillor Ross.
That's a point of order again, Madam Mayor. You must remove yourself from the chair. You must elect a chairperson who's independent for this purpose.
That is correct. So could you move your motion, please, for dissent, and then I will vacate the chair.
I'm moving the motion of dissent that the ruling made by the Mayor is outside of governance rules and is not consistent with the 2020 Local Government Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Can we elect a chair for the purpose of this dissent motion, please? Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Haynell. All those in favour? Thank you, Councillor Ross.
Is that appropriate?
No, he's moved the dissent, so we need to move someone else. Correct. I have a move.
Can I move Councillor Haynell? Nominate just a temporary chair.
Is it appropriate that Councillor Ross nominates the chair?
Yes, or not, the councillor supported.
Okay. We have a motion for Councillor Haynell to take the chair. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. That is carried.
So you like to go?
Do I physically go and sit in the chair?
You can do it from where you are.
Better if you don't sit in the chair.
Thank you, councillors. We have a motion, and that motion is that the ruling made by the mayor is outside the governance rules. So we have a motion. All those in favour, which is dissent from the chair.
Call for a seconder.
Can we have a seconder for that? Yep.
Councillor
Diver. So, councillors, we have a motion of dissent.
I'll speak to the motion.
Yes.
Thanks, Deputy Chair. We must operate under the governance rules, which are provided by, passed by the previous council, and the rules we operate under. They can't be modified or changed without a motion of this council. They have to be suspended or modified by resolution of this council. Legally, I believe we cannot just make rules up as we go along. The Chair does not have that executive power. My understanding is the council must comprehensive community consultation process, which is consistent with section 60.4C of the Local Government Act, is my understanding of it. And to do so, I believe we're in breach of the Act, and it's not good that we do that. And therefore, on that basis, I respectfully request that we just revert to our existing governance rules, and they're the rules for the meeting. And this is a very important point, because it's about executive power of the chair. The Act clearly states that the chair is one amongst seven, and the role is to facilitate. And I don't believe the mayor has executive powers to move such changes of rulings. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion?
Deputy Chairs, I'd like to support the motion. I believe that the governance rules, well, we've all talked about governance all year, and this is something that I believe doesn't support us making informed decisions. If we're under the Act, we're required to have all the information we need to make an informed decision, and
if we've got a question that pops up that's during the debate or something that we need clarification on, I believe we have that right based on the Local Government Act and the government's rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Flynn.
Again, we talked about working together, not springing surprises on anyone, and it's my understanding that the Mayor emailed all of us with this late last week or over the weekend. If there was any issues or problems with it, we should have addressed them then. I don't believe this is appropriate.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn. Anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want some verification. I have not got the Governance Act in front of me. Can I ask an officer to, or Mr. Ballard to, verify that because this is the first time this sort of happened, and I've got the act in front of me, but I don't know what page it is. Can I have a verification that this is the proper process?
Because, help clarify that for you.
To make it clear to all, because I'm not unsure of the process, and I just want to make sure that it is being done correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Are you happy for me to ask? Sure.
Through you, Chair, yes, I don't believe there's any change to the governance rules, so because there still is an ability for the councillors to ask the questions or points of clarification of the officers, so that ability is still there. I guess what this does is it actually allows the debate to actually happen freely, because what we're finding is that when the debate is, when the councillor is speaking, and if they start asking questions, you know, in the middle of the debate, it actually is very hard to manage it, you know. So as you know, councillors, there are clear requirements under the governance rules about speaking times. So to make sure that the speaking times are actually properly followed, it is important, you know, that there is a bit of sort of a process around when and how the questions get asked. So personally, I don't believe that what's being proposed is in any is not in accordance with the governance rules. So that's my view.
Councillor Bowie's question was answered because he asked would the rule be the governance rule be clarified.
I'm happy to answer that, or at least speak to that, councillor. What happened was the mayor's motion was dissented from. So what that means is it was that. We, you know, there were councillors that disagreed with that for the fact that we didn't believe that one question was adequate to ask for agenda items if, you know, sometimes we may not have been part of the process of the strategising for that agenda item. So it's important to make informed decisions for councillors to be able to ask questions. That's part of what we do to reach our decision-making process. And so for that reason, it was dissented from. I hope that explains. And we're now here to, I think we're ready to put that motion.
Yes, unless other councillors wish to speak.
Oh, sorry. Beg your pardon. Has someone... Councillor Power, beg your pardon.
Thank you. I thought, or I believe, what Councillor Bowie was actually saying, he'd probably like to see it up on the wall, the Act itself, so we could have a look at the Act and see what it says.
The governance rules? The governance rules.
It was quoted 60.4 of the Local Government Act. That's what was quoted. So if we'd see that up on the wall so we could all have a look at it, would be great. Can we or can't we do that?
Sorry, what section is it, Councillor Ross?
Section 64 in brackets.
64 from the governance rules?
60.4. So it's clause 4. So section 60, clause 4.
Is that the Act, Local Government Act?
2020.
Yes. It goes. Okay, so.
No, but I think we want to bring it on the screen. That's what we're going to do. So.
Yeah, we don't have one of those.
Is it on the portal or not? Should we have a portal?
I'll suggest, Chair, you know, maybe we adjourn the meeting for 10 minutes.
Because this is, I believe this is important in asking, councillors asking and making informed decisions on the agenda items. If we go to the
I'll just read, so section 64, councillors, I'll just read it. Under governance rule 64, that's the right one, Councillor Ross?
Yes.
Yep. So it says, subject to subsection 5, the council must ensure that a process of community engagement is followed in developing or amending its governance rules. So that's what 64 is about.
Yes.
So I'm not sure whether that answers your question, Councillor Ball.
And also consider and make decisions on any matter being considered by the council fairly and on the merits. Institute decision-making process to ensure that any person whose rights will be directly affected by the decision of the council is entitled to communicate their views and have the interest considered. We're basically discussing the fact that councillors need to make informed decisions and ask questions, not just be limited to one question.
Again, as I said earlier to you, Chair, I don't think we're changing that. So, the councils have every right to ask a question. It's just that the sequencing of when you ask the question, I think that's the change. And so, councillors can ask questions and you know, the start of before the item is moved, as the mayor said earlier. And of course, the officers would have to provide the answers. And if there's any clarification required, you know, during the debate itself, well, that's something, again, the chair can allow as well. Yeah, so there's no change to that's what I said earlier in response to Councillor Ball, there is no change proposed to the governance rules.
Any more people else wants to speak? Or
does anybody else want to speak?
David's asked a question, yes.
Councillor Ross, would you like to close the debate before it's put to
Thanks, vote? Thank you, Chair. Panel. This is an amendment to the governance rules. It's nothing more or nothing less. It's clear to find that I can strongly disagree with our CEO, Mr. Bahal's explanation. It is an amendment to the governance rules. And it does limit debate. I believe it gags debate. I limited the number of questions of people on explanations, which they might have discovered something since the briefing. They've reread their papers. It gives the opportunity to ask those questions. And I believe in a democratic process, we should not be gagging debate or attempt to change our governance rules without complying with the Act. I need to warn my fellow councillors, if we so move to go against the Act, it's a fairly, I think, dangerous move for council.
Morning, Gordon.
Councillor.
The word they use there was warn councillors. That can be threatening to some people.
Okay.
Okay, I'll withdraw the word warn and to raise my concerns in relation to the we approve this change to our governance rules. I believe it won't be looked kindly on by our state government or our community. And things must go through an open, transparent process, so we all have time to review them, consider them before they're adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Okay, so we, councillors, we now have a motion. Can we have a vote on that, please, and put that motion now? All those in favour? All those against?
Conflict of interest?
We've no conflict of interest. There's no definitely all conflict of interest. That's to my view on this.
Through the chair, please, Mr. Hall.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Can we look into that, please, as to whether the mayor is able to vote since it was her?
That's what I suggested, Madam Chair. The Councillor Ross's conflict of interest is no different to the mayor's conflict of interest on this issue. So either both of them vote or they both don't vote. That'd be my advice.
Councillor Ross, Councillor Bell.
If the chair has made the ruling and this is about the ruling, I fail to understand what Mr. Bala is meaning by that statement. Thank you.
Clarify that, Mr. Bahal, for Councillor Bell.
I just said, you know, that I believe, you know, they both have equal rights to vote.
It's
chair does not require to stand on the right. Yeah, so the governance was, sorry, John, what section is it?
Governance rules, is it? Was that
35.3? The one that does not send from chair's ruling, it does not say that the chair is not permitted to vote.
That's it. I'll just wait for Mr. Barlow. You got it there?
So John,
can we have a break while we look into this place? It's looks pretty doesn't look pretty subsides if it's all sitting around and waiting for things to happen.
Okay, can we put that to the vote? Everyone happy with the adjournment?
Yeah, we just get a motion to adjourn for 5 minutes, please.
Thanks, Mayor.
For 10 minutes.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Can I have a seconder for that? Councillor Power, thank you. And now we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you. So what was the... Have a motion.
So we got a motion, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Thanks, Councillor Bell. Can we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Flynn. So we now have a ruling on the chair's vote and the chair is able to vote. So...
So
we're now going to put the dissent motion to the vote. All those in favour? Okay, councillors. So we're now going to put the dissent motion. Now we've had the dissent motion because we've already had a motion from Councillor Ross. That is the motion that's amended. So we now just have to go and put Councillor Ross's motion to the vote, which is where we were at earlier. So is everybody happy with that?
Do you want to read it out?
Okay, so the motion is, we got that motion up on the screen, sorry. That the ruling by the mayor is outside the governance rules. That wasn't actually the Councillor Ross's motion.
That's it. Yeah, that the chair's ruling be dissent from. That's the words. Yeah. Those words need to be in there.
That the dissent ruling.
The first part was right. The chair's ruling, which is
should be dissented from. The motion is that the chair's ruling be dissent.
Okay. We now have a motion to be voted on. So would someone like to move that?
It's only me, so just voting on it.
You just put it to vote. So that's the motion.
Okay. So we now have a motion and we'll put that motion to the vote. So all those in favour? All those that are against? Okay, so that motion is lost. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, councillors.
Twice, maybe three times, when Councillor Harnell was sitting in the chair, she was called Deputy Mayor. I don't believe we have a Deputy Mayor, so if we can amend the Deputy Chair.
I'm not, acting, yeah, temporary.
So there's no Deputy Mayor in here.
Temporary Chair it is in the governance rules. Okay, 9.1, concept plan for the City Oval and Sawyer Park Precinct, Stage 2 of the City to River Master Plan. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the recommendations from the Community Reference Group, CRG, and endorse the concept plan for the City Oval and Sawyer Park Precinct. Councillors, I will go around the room and see if anyone has a question to ask or a clarification to seek before I ask for someone to move this motion. Councillor Haynell. Thank you. Councillor Bell.
This has actually now been answered by a public question, but I would like more detail or clarification on how we can go from $34 million to $17 million in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks. I find the explanation given in the even in the public question hasn't answered the way I want to look at it. I find that if I'm really concerned that as an elected councillor, I'm required to be under the Act to consider financial sustainability, to make a fully informed decision in this chamber. And based on like $17 million coming off a project in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, and like the councillors weren't even informed that it originally started at that in October. So if I could have some more detail on the reasons that it went from 34 to 17 million, please.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Mr. O'Brien.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So the Track Consulting did the initial concept plan for the City Oval Sawyer Park development. The costings were provided by a subcontractor to Tract. The costings were presented to the community reference group, and that was pretty much close to when they were provided to council. So they were discussed with the community reference group. Upon them being presented, the project manager for City to River, the City Oval Sawyer Park concept plan, reviewed those costings, and it became quite obvious that the costings provided certainly were based on a number of assumptions, and then we compared that to the actual design, and those costings weren't accurate in relation to the not only the types of buildings that were proposed on the site, but also generally the costs that we'd been experiencing with other projects within Horsham. So based on that particular situation, it was agreed that we'd get another cost estimation done, which is not unusual for councils to get another set of cost estimations. Through that cost estimation process, the costings that came back to council as a result of that was the $17 million that has been expressed based on what was deemed more realistic costings as far as the costs that we understand would be provided or locally, being mindful that this is a concept plan, so they're very high order costs at this stage. The costings provided by the initial cost estimation were estimated was more based on Melbourne type or even Sydney type costings for projects. So through that process, those figures came back. They were represented to the community reference group, and since then they've been provided to council at a briefing and now on at the council meeting tonight.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Councillor Bowe, do you have a question? No? Councillor Flynn, thank you. Councillor Power?
No.
Councillor Ross?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. In relation to the community consultation for the CRG, how many finally voted for support of this project at the CRG? Are we aware?
Mr. O'Brien, would you please answer that question?
The CRG, not, I have to get a detail, but it was a quorum on the night who voted for the concept plan as presented. So I think all but one voted in support of the concept plan at that particular meeting, I understand. So from my understanding was that, there wasn't a full representation of all the community representatives at the night, but there was
a quorum presented, which resolved on the concept plan.
Miss.
On the quorum of that committee?
How many are on the quorum?
Through Madam Mayor, I have to get the detail around that, but it was more, it's basically the standard quorum was for meeting. So
half plus
one. I'm not sure how many, it might have been around 20. I haven't got that information on hand, but basically we followed the protocols of our meeting, of the procedure to vote on that particular plan as presented to the committee reference group, as documented in the agenda tonight.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Okay, councillors, we have a
neglected to ask a question, but just after Councillor Bell there, in relation to the meeting process and so forth, in relation to CRG, was the meeting of the CRG, was that, were the committee members actually informed previous to the meeting, or was it one of those meetings just called on the spot? Was it a scheduled meeting so as everybody could attend, or was it one of these on the spot meetings where half the committee couldn't get to?
Mr. O'Brien.
Through you, Madam Mayor, it was a scheduled meeting of the committee reference group, and all those who are on the committee reference group were invited to attend.
Okay, thank you. Mr. O'Brien. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Power.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The recommendation that is in front of me is that council
note the outcomes and community sentiment captured by the City Oval and Sawyer Park Community Engagement Appendix 9.1A. Receive and note the prioritisation of the precinct and development as proposed by the Community Reference Group. Endorse the concept plan for the City Oval and Sawyer Park Precinct, Appendix 9.1B, and seek funding opportunities for the state and federal governments to achieve all the components of the concept plan as presented to the community and supported by the Community Reference Group.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Powell. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Bowe. Is this motion opposed? Councillor Powell, would you start the debate, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It gives me great pleasure to be able to stand up here and talk about the concept plan for the City Oval and the Sawyer Park Precinct, stage two of the City to River Master Plan. I've been talking about this for a number of years now, and we keep on talking about how we can improve Horsham and encourage people to actually come to Horsham. Had great pleasure on Saturday to go down to the volleyball stadium, the basketball stadium, and watch volleyball and talk to volleyball people and why they've come to Horsham and the facilities that we do have there too. It was acknowledged that our facilities in the basketball stadium weren't all that great, and we need to do something about it. We have got an opportunity here now for the plan that's put in front of us that the people of Horsham that were on the CRG have actually voted for. We talk about transparency. We talk about getting community involved in our events. We talk about having people actually tell us as councillors what they want. We have, in this case, a CRG that is made up of people from our community that say we want this. And yet we sit here and debate the pros and cons of it. The people want it. Our community want this to happen. And it's up to us councillors to read the report, go through it, but actually do something that the community wants for a change. Let's go. Let's put our name to it. Let's go ahead with it. Let's support our community and what they're actually telling us through this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillor Bowe.
The concept plan for City Oval and Sawyer Park will provide many new and enhanced current opportunities that these spaces can provide and increase participation in sports across a range of codes. It will benefit the user groups and the greater community whilst making it fully accessible for all in our community visitors and ensuring the community facilities and areas are equitable, inclusive and safe for all. There have been many discussions in the community of the current demands and future needs of City Oval and Sawyer Park and the current directions and future needs that need to be met. The chair independently, the community reference group resolves and moves the motion, the following motion at its meeting on Thursday the 30th of September 2021, that the Sawyer Park City Oval concept plan be accepted and presented to council. This motion was anonymously approved. Then the reference group came and presented the plans and answered questions from councillors and the briefing. As we City Oval, we will also see improvement to access and integration at Sawyer Park, the Cenotaph, the RSL Memorial Drive, and the Wimmera Live Stream and Model Engineering Society. And in addition, we'll create and enhance opportunities for music events and community events and various festivals and large-scale events that can happen both at City Oval and Sawyer Park. We need to be looking forward now and into the future by working together as we are a thriving regional city. We need facilities that people will want to come to if we want bigger events to come and to support kids who like to complete or people to be able to hold on, go to a place where it's got modern facilities rather than facilities that have been built in the 1970s. And one way of we can do this is by pursuing various investments and funding opportunities at state and federal levels that play an essential role in the community as it lessens the cost on our community and support community connection and is respectful of our community's ever-changing needs. And I know at City Oval and Sawyer Park, being a photographer and video...
That's time. Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone like to speak against this motion? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This is what I'd like to say to my fellow councillors. This is not just a let's do it project. This is $17 million. We've recently shared a list of projects taken from different strategies and plans. And in that, it had an estimated total project cost of $10,441,000. And it showed that funding would be, as I said, was suggested, would be 75% grant and 25% loans. We've recently endorsed an asset plan and a financial plan, and that included this estimation. We're now changing the $10.5 million estimated to $17 million. That will now, as it's going to be funded by 75% grant and 25% loans, I believe that's going to change our borrowings. This is actually listed in this plan for 22-23, 23-24 and 24-25. At no point has this council discussed the financial implications to our ratepayers of endorsing this tonight. And I find this really, really upsetting. I'm extremely concerned that to endorse this concept and move forward without full discussion with councils, and I did move a notice of motion last month about priority of projects, but it was defeated. Councils have only had one really decent briefing, and it only went for about half an hour, our actual discussion. There was questions with the others there, but we couldn't have an in-house council discussion while the other people of CRG. Okay, the CRG has a lot of importance being placed on their opinion, but they're not charged with the responsibility of us being financially stable and actually looking and making decisions in a responsible manner for this community. So what is the overall cost of this? Well, you know, we want a lot of things. Councillor Power says, well, it's something the community wants. The community wants their roads fixed. They want their footpaths fixed. They want their tops and toilets. They want a sporting precinct, as we heard last Saturday down at the volleyball. They haven't got a decent place to play. They were playing over three facilities. We've got sports without homes. And yet down there at that City Oval, we've got a top-grade oval at the moment. It mightn't take regional, but they've got a top surface. They've got one of the two approved to regulation netball courts already there, and that's going to get ripped up. And cricket can play there. So we have three sports that aren't going to change. The report said that would increase codes. I don't believe on the plans I've seen there's any other sporting codes that can be put there based on the facilities that are on that plan. It is still going to be football, netball and cricket. So I'm just stunned that we're not really looking at our obligations as councillors to make sure that we're financially stable and that we've actually considered the implications of this financially. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Like Councillor Bell, I'm concerned. Well, first of all, I should state that I'm in favour of the project. Like, have a great city, we need to plan for the future and look forward to having better facilities. But there's a financial obligation and looking at how much money we need to borrow. And I don't believe we could look at that. On this agenda, I added up, there's $31 million worth of projects. And if this project blows out to $34 million, there's that $43 million expenditure in this agenda. So this agenda tonight. We have not discussed our borrowing policy and the implications of how much we're comfortable in borrowing. And that really concerns me. We've seen the plan, we peak at 15, I think it's $15.1 million. But to me, we need to sit down and have a strategic discussion. I believe this is premature for this motion to come forward. And secondly, also, in the last week, sadly, I've been contacted by some of the members of the CRG in relation to the concept plan. They would like some flexibility in there, perhaps to move the proposed changing club rooms from where they're located to be midway along the south side of the oval. And that would then require perhaps the bending of Hocking Street to make a boomerang out of it. But if this proposal is for the next 150 years, 200 years, that's the time now is to get it right. And I believe a little bit more consultation to get everyone on the same page. So I was concerned when I heard, and they were respectful of what they did, because in a CRG, they would not let us speak to councillors or the user groups, like the netball club, football club and other user groups, until the process was finished. So I waited until that process was finished. Then they consulted their groups, and then they started saying, well, perhaps we could have done better. So I believe it's a little bit premature for us to approve this tonight on the basis of being financially responsible and looking at what the debt load will be in time, and having a strategic council discussion about that. And secondly, I would like to see the CRG members a little bit more on the same page. My understanding was that out of the 12, I think there was either five or six voted for. That was five. Five voted for, two abstained. That's what I've been told. And that concerns me as well. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Mr Harrison, would you like to comment? We've heard from two councillors.
Can I raise an issue about the comment the councillor made, or can the CEO raise an issue?
Yeah, I'll come back to that in a moment. Yeah, thank you. I was coming to you second. Mr Harrison, could you please comment on the financial implications of this decision within the context of our long-term financial sustainability, et cetera, please?
Well, the decision tonight we're not committing to those borrowings. The decision is committing to the, as I understand the recommendation, is committing to endorsing the concept plan. So then the decisions around the actual program works will occur. They are documented in the long-term capital plan, the financial plan was recently adopted. At the same time, the borrowing policy was adopted and discussed as well. Those things are there, but my understanding of the recommendation is not committing to those dollars at this point in time.
So item four was seek funding opportunities from state and federal government. So until we actually know how much we're going to get from state and federal government, we won't know what our personal council commitment is, will we? Okay, thank you.
Madam Mayor, an amendment, please.
Just one second, please. Mr. O'Brien, would you please clarify? We've heard comments about the actions and meeting procedures of the CRG, etc. Would you please clarify whether what Councillor Ross has been told is correct or whether there is another version?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll just question the numbers around who voted for the community reference group numbers. So I think Councillor Ross mentioned 5, but from my recollection, I don't think that's correct. So happy to get further information. My understanding is certainly wasn't 5 that voted for the on that committee. So that's just a question I raise. Councillor Ross might have other information that I'm not privy to.
Okay, thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Councillor Bell, you have an amendment.
Well, we haven't had the motion, actually. I've just realised we're still waiting questions, so.
We've got the motion.
I'd like to move based on Mr. Harrison's response, because if we're seeking funding opportunities, when we seek funding, if we get the funding, we're committing the co-funding. So I'd like to
Can we just clarify that, please, before we go there?
Yeah, because you already finished your
speaking time.
Speaking, you know, so if you want to move an amendment, you should move before you finish your debate. Let me just confirm that.
Before I finish my own debate, is that what you're saying? Wow, what a lesson tonight. Madam Mayor, can I say something, please? Madam Mayor, in our governance rules, it says under 42, right to ask questions, a councillor may, when no other councillor is speaking, ask any question concerning or arising out of motion or amendment before the chair. So the way I read that is that another question can still be asked during.
We're just confirming whether you're entitled to move an amendment at this point, Councillor Bell.
Yes, Councillor Bell, it doesn't say that you can't, so you may move an amendment.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to change some wording in number 4, because of financial implications, based on what Mr. Harrison's just said, that this come back to council before seeking any funding applications. So so that we can discuss the full implications of the co-funding. For council, so funding opportunities before seeking. Back to council, after council, please. To discuss co-funding financial implications. and then the rest should be fine. Thank you. Did you want me to read that out again?
So are you suggesting the concept plan come back to council?
No, the financial implications of the co-funding. That this come back to council to discuss co-funding financial implications before seeking funding opportunities. So it's the financial implications that I'm talking about, yeah, not the concept plan.
So before we put in a grant application, you want the grant application to come back to council with the full... I'm just trying to understand it before
I
we go any further.
A detailed discussion with councillors, mm-hmm, because we haven't discussed the financial implications, yep, of co-funding with 25% of $17 million and getting a loan for that compared to... that's if the co-funding still is 25%, but that's what's been put in our long-term priorities.
So I just want to clarify that every grant application of a significant thing, it's come back to council. So I'm just trying to make sure that this is actually in line with what we already do, that it's not something different to what we're doing.
So
maybe if I can suggest to Councillor Bell.
Could I ask a question, Madam Mayor?
Please, we're just trying to resolve this. Yeah.
So if, for example, tomorrow there was a funding application and it was for the $17 million project, just say we were at that point, like right now, and we were going to be co-funding 25% of that, so we're talking about $4,250,000, so then it would actually, if you would actually apply for the funding, but then we have to find the $4.25 million, or how is that worked out so that we're not committed to that by applying for the funding and then saying, "Wait, we've got a grant."
Please, yeah. I think you or Mr. Harrison explain this process, please.
So maybe what I suggest we do is understand the other thing. So maybe we say that any applications for funding endorsed by council before being submitted.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that way we're covering all that. I was just trying to get the wording.
Yeah, that's
right.
Fine.
So because as we know, councillors, we do advocacy all the time and we seek money. We don't mean that. We can still do that. It's when we are ready to lodge an application.
Yep.
That's when we have a discussion about how it's going to be funded.
Yeah. So the spirit of my amendment is to actually ensure that council is considering the financial implications before committing.
So are you happy with that wording, that it will come, any application will come to council before it's submitted, and that gives us an opportunity to look at how it will be co-funded?
Yeah, so maybe we say that any applications for funding come back to council.
For this project?
Yeah.
Do we need...
For this project, yeah.
I'd put for this project after funding.
Yeah, any applications for funding for this project? Or just come back to council
to discuss.
Discuss and before the submission. Discuss and before making the submission.
No, the co-funding's got to go back. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
We just need to make sure it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that any application for maybe co-funding?
To discuss, the co-funding financial implications.
Does that read quite right, though, before it says before the submission co-funding financial? It seems a bit long-winded there in the middle.
Any applications for this project, any funding applications for this project, to council to discuss before submission. What are we doing? What was it after that? Before submission.
To discuss financial implications. So it's actually kind of the before the submission is actually just needs to be shifted.
To discuss the financial implications.
Co-funding financial implications. Yeah.
Co-funding rather than financial. Yeah.
Before seeking, so you don't really need.
Well, it's
when you just cut out that bit in the middle
before making the submission.
Before submitting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before submitting.
Yeah. Before submitting. You don't need both. Yeah.
Yeah. So we probably don't need.
Yeah, we don't need the bottom part.
So actually, we're making that five. We're not taking out four. We're not really replacing four, are we? Because we're still seeking the opportunities, but we're not lodging anything until. Well, we've discussed it. Is that what you want? Because do you want us to not continue seeking funding opportunity, like talking to the government?
Well, I don't think that putting that in place of four actually stops seeking.
So do we make it five rather than replace four?
Yep, whatever.
No, I'm trying to make sure everybody's happy with this. Right. Is that... Just need to make sure everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's coming back to council to discuss the financial implications. So
that the amendment you want?
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Bell's happy with her amendment. Can I have a seconder for that amendment, please? Councillor Ross. Councillors, is anyone opposed to that amendment? Does anyone wish to speak to that amendment? Councillor Ross. Did you want to speak to that, Councillor Bell? Councillor Ross.
I just think it's so important, given that we've got so many projects on the go and there are so many other important projects, that I don't want to see something like this go ahead at the expense of all the other things that need to be done around the municipality. And we are charged as councillors with being fair and equitable, and I'm really challenged by that at this moment.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I believe this amendment reduces risk, improves the governance and oversight of council. And it's on that basis, so support it as being more fiscally responsible. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to this amendment? Anything else you wish to say, Councillor Bell? Said it all? All right, councillors, we'll put this amendment to the vote, 0.5 only. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against? Thank you. That is carried. Okay. Yes, Councillor Haynell is abstaining from voting against the amendment. So the amendment now joins the resolution. Does anyone else wish to speak to the council resolution? Yes, Councillor Ross. You've already spoken.
I wish to remove the amendment, Madam Mayor. Sorry to do this, to drag the reading out. But to get my full support, I would like to see a modification to 0.2. And on the end of, I think it was two.
No. Sorry. I don't think
so. At the end of two, if the words could be added, and that the prioritisation remains flexible if new needs or information comes forward. And that the prioritisation is remain flexible if new needs or information comes forward. I'll say it again.
So it's at the end of the circle. So there's even not the...
Was at the end? They were at the end, yeah.
Just simply put it, rather have six and third. Oh, yeah. Can be six, can be done that way.
No.
I think it's just the number of the words.
Yeah.
And remain flexible if, what was it, if new information...
If new information...
Becomes available.
Yeah. Or if needs or new information becomes available. Because it may be 3 years out before perhaps we are able to then attract funding for some of those things, and then things may change. Thank you.
Is that your amendment? Are you happy with, is that what?
If needs change, maybe.
If needs change. If yes. Needs change.
Yes. Yeah.
Needs change, and we'll change after needs. So Councillor Ross has, you're happy that we got that right? Could I have a seconder for that motion, that amendment, please?
So is that, if it's still a receiver note, then that's not actually making sure, resolving that council actually do that. That so if we just receive and note it, it actually hasn't got any power.
That's all you're doing, you're only receiving and noting.
Yeah.
I think what it understand the intent of councillor.
Do you want to add it as that the prioritise and precinct development, do you want to take that out and make it as a dot point six rather than add it to number two?
Either which way, whichever is an effective way to do it, madam.
I'm just trying to work out.
Yeah,
it should be fine.
Just as long as the intent when we're looking at the when the motion's passed, just as long as the intent is as intended. Are you happy with it where it is, Councillor Bell?
I'm happy to second it if the receiver note is removed.
We're taking the information from the community reference group. I'm not sure we can take, we're receiving and noting their submission to us.
But like I said before, the community reference group is half a dozen people or a dozen people. We're talking about the whole community here and the whole municipality.
Yes. Yeah, but the report here is from the CRG. So, Councillor Ross, are you sure that's what you want? Because if Councillor Bell wants those words taken out for her to second it, do we need to have that as a dot point six instead?
Madam Mayor, as I read that receiver note, is for the CRG.
Correct.
Plans that have come through to us, and the added word certainly adds flexibility to it if there are other needs and that pop up, which do from time to time.
Okay, thank you. So you want to leave the amendment. So Councillor Bell, Councillor Ross doesn't want to change the amendment. Do you still want to second it?
Yes, I'll second it, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillors, is anyone opposed to this amendment? Does anyone wish to speak to this amendment? That being the case, we'll put this amendment to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against? Councillor Flynn's against and Councillor Haynell is opposed. Right, that motion is carried. Okay, so that then...
Next thing.
No, you're all good. We just want to make sure it's what it is. Okay, councillors, does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Flynn.
Said that it's a wonderful facility we have down there. I went down yesterday and had a look, and I certainly hope and pray no one ever needs to be stretchered off that ground, because I think it would be an OHS risk for the paramedics trying to get the stretcher from the oval to the surface and put the patient in the ambulance. Yet again, Horsham's the poor country cousin. The ovals and community centres in Stawell and Ararat are an amazing asset to their community and a great area and arena. I can only imagine that our residents visit these towns and think, why don't we have that in Horsham? I know I certainly thought that when I attended Alexander Oval in Ararat. Do we want our city to progress? Do we want our residents and the greater region to have access to high-quality regional standard facilities? Don't our facilities need to be accessible for all? I keep hearing we need to ask the community for their input. Well, that's exactly what we've done. Our community reference group was formed with 12 members and they have met 15 times over the past 12 months. I note in the conclusion of the report, it makes reference to the positive benchmark this CRG has set to how council can continue to undertake proactive and positive planning, all while in the midst of a global pandemic and the many challenges that come with having to engage a CRG virtually. Our report tells us that there were 21 one-on-one meetings undertaken with community groups invested and impacted by the proposed change, representing 14 groups. A six-week public consultation of the draft concept plan, which received 78 formal submissions, which resulted in the CRG making key changes to the draft plan. All of this while ongoing discussions with potential funding bodies, including state sporting associations, DELP, BGLC and our local CMA. This plan was endorsed unanimously by the CRG. The decisions we make need to be in the best interest of our whole municipal community. And I think the risk implications statement from this report sums it up. The concept plan needs to be endorsed by council so as to proceed with funding opportunities, both state and federally. If not endorsed, this could put funding opportunities in jeopardy. Damage to council's reputation by not recognising the extensive process undertaken to develop the plan, the costs involved, and the work by the CRG. Council and councillors receive correspondence about this master plan. Does the author of this email to council and the councillors, which was received last week, think they are going to try and manipulate, intimidate, or are they just trying to threaten us? The author has told us they are going to VCAT to save the grandstand, and if grants are delayed, so be it. This person is in the minority, and they must think we're going to be held to ransom, which we won't. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Power, would you please close out the debate?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's been a vigorous debate, hasn't it, about our concept plan, City Oval and the Sawyer Park Precinct. It's not just about sport. It's just not about the football ovals, just not about City of the River. This is about our community. This is about Horsham, attracting people to come to our town, our city, our regional city. We keep on spouting these words, but when we try to progress, we seem to get bogged up with community. When communities say, yes, let's go ahead with it, we still get bogged up because it's all about financial. Okay, yes, we've got to be financially sound. We really do. We've got to be thinking about 20, 30, 40, 50 years in advance. They did that in 1970 when they built the basketball stadium. The football ground as it is now was the same when I got here in 74. We talk about getting people to use facilities. How does a person in a wheelchair get to the second floor of the Horsham Football Club? That's never been spoken of. If we're talking about people, all people, we should be thinking about those people too. The people in wheelchairs, the people who can't climb stairs. I'm going to be one of them, won't be able to climb the stairs. I would like to go to the Horsham Football Club. That means I don't go. I don't see why this should be an issue. Every dollar that gets spent in this program, every job that is made, can make another three jobs, okay? It's money being spent for the benefit of us here in Horsham, not only for us as in councillors, the people that are down the main street there. Every dollar that comes from Melbourne, every dollar that comes from Adelaide to Horsham, if we are that regional city, we'll create more dollars in the city. We'll create a better shopping centre for us here. It will encourage people to come and grow their businesses, to make businesses.
Councillor, that's time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillors will now put this motion to the vote. We have the motion in front of us. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Those against? Okay, thank you. That is carried. Certainly, Councillor Bell. Councillor Bell has called for division. Let us set aside that original vote. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor Bowe, Councillor Flynn, Councillor Powell, Councillor Ross, Councillor Galeen. Those against the motion, Councillor Bell and Councillor... Sorry. Councillor Bell was against and Councillor Haynell was abstained. Okay, thank you, councillors. Item 9.2, mobile food and beverage trading vehicle policy. The purpose of this report is to approve the updated mobile food and beverage trading vehicle policy to incorporate more options for traders to be located at sites other than the roadside. Councillors, I'll provide you with an opportunity to ask a question of the officers or seek clarification. Councillor Ross? No. Councillor Power? Councillor Flynn? Councillor Bowe, Councillor Bell, Councillor Haynell.
Just a comment, really. I did ask for some information about comparing to Ballarat and Bendigo, but I did not receive that information. So it's a comment, really.
Okay, that will be done as part of the budget when we look at the fee. So. You found your question? Excellent, Councillor Bell.
Thank you. I just wanted to have some more clarification on the locations other than council preferred site. I did raise this when we discussed it at the briefing and said that I was concerned that there could be like all sorts of applications and whatnot. So I just wondered if I could inquire about how that was always going to be assessed. It does say case by case, but... so that it's fair to all. I just wondered how it's going to be assessed. Thank you.
Mr. O'Brien, do you have a comment on that, please?
Through you, Madam Mayor. So you're talking specifically about the site proposed in the policy? It's
on this summary, Mr. O'Brien. It's on the summary. It says locations other than council preferred site will be assessed on a case-by-case basis.
So through you, Madam Mayor, based on how the community responds to this opportunity, we'll be, if there's enough demand there, we'll be looking at some other possible sites, but that's something we still need to determine. At this stage, we've certainly got interest for the proposed site, so that's something we will work through and have to do assessments on those sites as that assessments come in for that that interest in those in other sites in beyond the current one.
Okay, thank you. All right, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I move that Council approve the updated mobile food and beverage trading vehicle policy, Appendix 9.2A, and waive all mobile food and beverage trading vehicle permit fees until the 1st of July 2022, to coincide with the next financial years and fees and charges setting by Council.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Can I have a second of that motion? Councillor Flynn. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Councillor Bell, would you like to start, please?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I believe this is a way forward, seeing we haven't established anything with regards to a cafe. And I also think it's a positive way forward because a cafe will be in one spot and eventually going ahead, I would envisage that we might have some events that actually might lead from, you know, Ag Society area or the showgrounds area right through to Wee Park. We might take in the whole... and we will need food and beverages along there. So I believe this is a positive way forward, especially even with or without a cafe site. Thank you.
Councillor Flynn. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to add that the fees have been waived till next 1st of July 2022. I think that's a really positive thing coming out of COVID. It'll allow businesses to actually kickstart and have a go at getting food beverages down there during events and that. I think it's a positive thing. Thank you.
Great, Councillor Ross. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bowe.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe that this is great to see Councillor encouraging and making it easy for mobile vehicle chain businesses to operate and activating the space between the Horsham Rowing Club and Apex Club along the river, so these mobile businesses can provide goods and services at this location. COVID-19 has played havoc with these kinds of businesses, with restrictions and lockdowns and fewer events going ahead. Now we are returning to normal and the community are getting out there more. I see this as an excellent opportunity for these businesses to go out there and provide their goods. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bell, is there anything else you'd like to say? Thank you. That being the case, councillors, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Those against? Thank you, Councillor Haynell. Item 9.3, HRCC Integrated Strategic Planning and Reporting Framework. The purpose of this report is to adopt the HRCC Integrated Strategic Planning and Reporting Framework. Councillors, do we have any questions before we start this debate? Councillor Haynell. Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to check with, I believe there's Mr Harrison's department through you. So this is basically retaining our existing, the way we're handling the framework. It's just updating and tweaking the pieces to bring it into this Local Government Act.
Yes, please, Mr Harrison.
Thank you.
Councillor Bowe?
No.
Councillor Flynn? Councillor Power? Councillor Ross? Okay. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The Council adopt the Integrated Strategic Planning and Reporting Framework, Appendix 9.3A, which replaces the Planning and Budgeting Framework.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Would anyone else? Seconded by Councillor Flynn. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? That being the case, Councillor, you want to speak, Councillor? All right, hold on. Councillor Bell, no. Councillor Flynn, no. Councillor Bowe.
I'd like to say that this is a great document and it's going to be available on the website for the public to see. This actually brings everything together because it's, because our council is required to have this integrated strategic plan and reporting framework, and it brings it all together. This guides our council in identifying the community needs and aspirations for over the long term, say the 10 years, with the community vision, financial and assets plan, and then in the medium term, the 4 years of the council plan, health and wellbeing plan, municipal planning strategy, the workforce plan, and then with the short-term plan, 1 year annual budget, incorporating the annual action plan, capital work plan, it's made accountable through the annual report and audit statements. And I encourage people in the community, and when you see the different diagrams and that sort of explains it, because I know when I first saw it, after many years of trying to work out where all the different things went to, and just look at that, and to me, it sort of clicked. I knew where this came in, and I'd just say thanks for putting it together and updating it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Consistent planning, logical planning, and be consistent with the 2020 Act essential. Just take this to the Harlow and to the House and bring this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Would anyone else like to speak? That being the case, councillors, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I didn't hear Councillor Harlow.
She's abstaining and she's just making sure it's being recorded.
Thank you.
Item 9.4, land transfer South Bank. The purpose of this report is to declare its intention for transfer of council land for an electrical substation as part of a staged residential subdivision to Power Corp. Councillors, before we start, are there any questions or clarifications? Councillor Ross, Councillor Power, Councillor Flynn, Councillor Bowe, Councillor Bell, Councillor Haynell. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move this as a motion? Councillor Bowe.
Right one. That council one note the request from developer for land transfer proposed on as reserve one on AP 9.4A for the purpose of for electrical substation. To note the independent market evaluation for the property in the confidential section of this report. 3, issue a public notice of the proposed transfer of land in accordance with the requirements of section 114 of the Act. 4, following the notice period and if no submissions have been received by council, proceed with the subdivision of the reserve to create a separately titled parcel as shown as in reserve one in APPEX 9.4A. 5, authorise the CEO to enter into a contract of sale to transfer the land parcel to Power Corp Australia Limited for the price of $1.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Can I have a second for that motion, Councillor Flynn? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? That being the case, councillors, we'll put this motion to vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Item 9.5, contract 22/012, Horsham Town Hall Heritage Hall Foundation and Floor Replacement. The purpose of this report is to award contract 22/012 for the Heritage Town Hall Foundations and Floor Replacement. Before we proceed, councillors, are there any questions of this report? Councillor Ross, Councillor Power, Councillor Flynn, Councillor Bowe, Councillor Bell, Councillor Haynell, thank you. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I move that we award the contract of 22/012 for the Horsham Town Hall Heritage Foundations and the timber floor replacement to Locks Construction Supportion for a contract sum of $441,800 ex GST. And 2, note that a further allocation of $210,000 will be required to complete this project in the 2022-23 council budget.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Can I have a seconder for that motion, please? Councillor Power. Is this motion opposed? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Councillor Ross, you may begin.
Thanks, please. Madam Mayor. Our town hall is one of our great features in the town, and this is the heritage part of the hall, and unfortunately the floor is a very poor repair, and the foundations have had water underneath them as well, so it needs the subflooring done as well as the floor itself. So it's safer, arch, and it's for our people to use. So it's essentially that we do it, and I think it's good to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Power.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Press the button. I endorse what Councillor Ross has said. I'm an old rock and roller, I've been doing it for years, and the difficulty about the Horsham Town Hall in the last 10 or 15 years is the floor was running downhill and made it a bit difficult. I reckon I've got one leg shorter than the other because of the town hall floor. But it is really great that this will take place. This is something that we need again. Look, we're a regional centre and the events that we can hold in that hall are significant. With a great floor, with a good floor, we'll encourage other people to come along and hold events in the town hall. So it's just a fantastic way of moving ahead for Horsham.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm looking forward to seeing the new floorboards, and I'm glad to see a lot of contract and lots of construction will be doing the replacements and the foundation treatment. It's fantastic. Floorboards are going to be replaced, and because I've seen many events and heard of many memories and experiences over the years in the Heritage Hall. And what I mean by hearing the experiences, a few years back, I had the opportunity of hearing people's reflection of the town hall, and it felt like the Heritage Hall, and that was a part of their home, the kitchen centre of their home. These new floorboards will enhance the atmosphere of the Heritage Hall, create new memories for all those who come to the hall to dance, to attend workshops and presentations. So I'm looking forward to it, and thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross, is there anything else you'd like to say? No. That being the case, councillors, we'll put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Those against? Thank you. Item 9.6, contract 22/006, supply and delivery of one new dual control 6x4 side loader garbage truck with optional trade-in. The purpose of this report is to award contract 22/006 for the supply and delivery of one new dual control 6x4 side loader garbage truck with optional trade-in. Councillors, before we progress, are there any questions? Councillor Haynell?
No.
Councillor Bell? Councillor Bowe? Flynn? Power? Councillor Ross? No, thank you. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Flynn.
I move. I move that Council accept the tender for the OGR trucks for the supply and delivery of two new Iveco ACO 6x4.
One, it's one, Councillor Flynn, sorry.
New Iveco ACO 6x4 rapid dual control 6x4 side loader garbage truck with superior pack body valued at $389,880, less trade-in of $35,454.54 from OGR Trucks Mount Gambier, with a changeover amount of $354,425.46, exclusive of GST.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn. I have a second, Councillor Ross. Is this motion opposed? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Councillor Flynn.
With regards to this, I really enjoyed reading in the report that the staff who will actually use this were actively involved in test driving it, I guess you test drive a garbage truck, and it was viewed favourably by the panel due to its mounted radar to detect objects and its automatic brakes. So we're well and truly looking after our staff while they're out doing an important job of collecting the rubbish. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Collecting garbage is something we do well as a council. The community feedback was great, and this will aid in that, keeping that up. And when we look at the value of the trade-in, you can see the old one was pretty worn out. So it's due for replacement. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak? That being the case, councillors, let's put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. 9.7, mutual respect charter. The purpose of this report is to adopt the mutual respect charter. Councillor, are there any questions before we start? Councillor Ross, Councillor Power, Councillor Flynn, Councillor Bowe, Councillor Bell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was just wondering if we engaged any community input into this, seeing we're actually regarding it as a mutual respect charter and we've got the expectations of them, or are we just basically dishing out expectations.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Mr. Harrison, would you like to comment, please, how this is different to any other job charter that we've already got?
Yes, through you, Madam Mayor. I think the question was more around the
community engagement, correct, but I'm just wanting to know how different it is to what we've already got. You can do that one as well, but put the two together, please.
So, in relation to what we're spelling out here, is we're spelling out our expectations from our staff and the community in terms of dealing with us and with us dealing with them. So we are... In terms of being a different piece of work, it's not a collaborative thing as such. It's more about how what staff can expect and what the community can expect of staff. In terms of whether we've actually done any engagement, the answer is no, we haven't done engagement on them.
Thank you, Councillor. Oh, thank you, Mr. Harrison. Councillor Haynell, have you got any questions? Okay, thank you. All right, councillors, we've got a motion in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move the recommendation? Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Power.
Madam Mayor, the recommendation there reads that council adopts the mutual respect charter appendix 947A.
I have a seconder for that motion. Councillor Bowe, I saw your hand first. Is that motion, this motion opposed? Councillor Power, would you start, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mutual respect charter. Fantastic to see that we're going to do something and put something in black and white for us as councillors and staff can see, and also the community can see and know where we all stand together in this respect. The Charter sets out a shared responsibility, and I believe it does so too. It also gives us the safe workplace expectations for our staff and what they can expect from the community, but also what the community can expect from our staff. It also, I believe, does so for the community towards our councillors, towards us people. We are a part of the community and we're also part of the council. I like the part there that says the community has the right and responsibility to be treated with courtesy and respect. It also there for councillors and staff to have the right and the responsibility to have that too, be treated with courtesy and respect. That's all I ask, and I think this puts it out there for people that are out there. If we don't, or if they don't already do it, it's there in black and white now for people to actually read, take it in and realise that councillors as well as our employees are all members of the community and not to be set aside and disrespected. So I think this is really great. This is something we need. It's there, it's in black and white for everybody, for ourselves, for the community to read and to follow. It's a pretty easy process. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Bowe.
I'd love to say that the mutual respect charter outlines the right and responsibility of community, council and staff in all council interactions, and I've always believed that we need to ensure a discrimination-free and harassment-free environment for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone like to speak against this motion? Councillor Ross?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I agree with the sector of what's been trying to achieve here, but I have concerns with the way the document's written. So I believe that respect is only earned and you can't demand respect. I believe under the Charter of Human Rights, you can't control how people think. You have to have freedom of thought. And respect, once again, is earned. So on that basis, it's somewhat Orwellian in that we have the thought police, and that I believe the word should be a code of ethics for engagement, for polite and courteous engagement with the community. My concern is, when reading the document, that the council and staff expect honesty, and I assume that's from the public, but that's not reciprocated from the community expecting council to be honest. And then on dot point, third last one on the community, it says communicate valid concerns and views without fear of reprisal.
Yep. The last dot point says modify and curtail or decline services response to unacceptable behaviour, which because of its nature or frequency raises health and safety resources or equity issues. Now, we do have to have a stick sometimes, but I think it's not the appropriate place to put this in the mutual respect charter. If someone has a stick and the community doesn't have one, maybe if we put up the community has a right to withdraw the withhold their rates, it might balance it up. So I just have a little bit concerned in the way it's written. And it's on that basis that I won't be supporting it. I agree with the sentiment and the aim of it, but I don't like the way it's written. So that's my personal perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I've got a concern with it because I believe respect is earned. We build it by having connection, repair, rapport and fair treatment. I can't understand how this charter will change anything. We have people who don't read the council plan, don't read the budget, don't read much of anything, don't even know that half the local laws exist and that they can read them. So I've got a real concern, and I can't even see how it will be demonstrated in practice, how you will have maybe someone upset in the reception and you know, they're not aware of the mutual respect charter. So are we then going to point them to it on the wall, and will that make them more irate and actually break the respect anyway? How will this work when we've got community safety officers out telling somebody some stuff they don't want to hear at a home applying a local law? The people there won't know what's expected of the local laws officers, and the local laws officers are going to be expecting something from the community that they don't know about. I actually believe that we should be working on our overall culture across the whole community with council, and actually starting to communicate, connect and build respect and trust, and it'll all just happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this charter is so important. I also believe it has the potential to become best practice across the local government sector. No one has the right to be abused, and it doesn't matter how angry or how upset you are. There are just a few things that we've been subjected to. There have been abusive emails and phone calls, threatening text messages and councillors going about their daily business being verbally abused. And now I have had someone visit my workplace. This is not appropriate and it is not okay. If we as elected representatives are subjected to this, I would hate to think how our staff are being treated. These are not my words, but from a councillor from another council who shared these with me. We developed and adopted the attached charter of mutual respect to help everyone work together. Whilst it won't ensure an end to all the inappropriate behaviour and language, we believe it will be a helpful document to set the tone and lift up the conversation. And this from a councillor where the mutual respect charter began. We've had a very positive response to how it has helped the staff deal with poor behaviour and protect themselves from taking on the abuse. Being angry is not an excuse for treating people poorly and bad behaviour. This is something we shouldn't have to do, but I am pleased that we are being proactive and supporting this charter.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Power, is there anything you'd like to say to close out?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I like what I'm hearing in the chamber. I really do. I like the pros and the cons for it. I think it's great. I do believe we need this, though. The mutual respect charter. I've put down, I've noted a couple of things here. The community has the right and responsibility to be heard and have a right of reply. To communicate valid concerns and views without fear of reprisal, because we've heard in the last couple of weeks of those fears of reprisal. So that's something the community has the right and responsibility to expect. But also, the other side of it too is there should be, and it's written there, zero tolerance of verbal abuse, offensive behaviour, threats and violence, not only to us as councillors, but also to the rest of the community. It's got to start somewhere. If we can't show it here in the council chambers, if our staff aren't safe to come to work, then things have to change. We need to make the change here in the chamber. We need to be showing an example of mutual respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillors will now put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Those against? Thank you. Certainly, Councillor Power.
Beat me to it, Doctor. Sorry? You beat me to it.
Councillors, this Councillor Bell has called for a division. The original vote is set aside. I'm now calling for another vote on this motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Councillor Bowe, Councillor Flynn, Councillor Power, Councillor Galeen. Those against, Councillor Bell, Councillor Ross, and Councillor Hanel is abstaining. Councillors, we are up to 9.8, Proposed Community Local Law 2021. The purpose of this report is to make Community Local Law 2021 and to revoke Community Local Law 2011. Councillors, are there any questions before we proceed? Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. In relation to the number of vehicles allowed on properties in relation to these law changes, is it 7 on rural properties or 2? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, you're clarifying something.
Yes.
So you're talking farm zone here.
I'm talking farm zone.
Madam Mayor, if you send an email to
me. Because I couldn't see urban in there, as we've discussed in the briefing.
Do
you know the answer to that off the top of your head, Mr. O'Brien?
Not off the top of my head, Madam Mayor. I'll have to check the local law. So.
Talks about more than 2 unregistered motor vehicles, including
it was resolved that that was for urban though, and it doesn't, the word's been excluded, I believe. Madam Mayor, would you like a motion to suspend standing orders for a moment?
We might just adjourn for the moment, rather suspend, please, Councillor Bell.
I'm happy to move a motion that we adjourn for 5 minutes.
Yep, and Councillor Ross will second. All those in favour? Thank you. That is carried. Carried. Okay, Councillor Ross, we've answered your question. Councillor Power, do you have any questions?
No.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn.
What happens, or what's the outcome, or what's the risk? I'm not really too sure what word I should be using. If this is not approved because it's automatically revoked or sunsets on the 19th of December, so say it wasn't approved, what happens come the 20th of December?
Mr. O'Brien.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Mr. Harrison, the question about whether we've resumed the.
Yes.
We have. Just from a governance perspective.
Yes, we have.
So there's certain delegations that the officers can carry out under, or are authorised under different legislation that can carry on, but obviously the local law itself, their authorisation, the local law would sunset on that date. So it just means you don't have a local law, and there's certain things we cannot impose within the community if there is no local law in place post the sunset date. But there are other powers that the local laws officers have under different legislation.
Thank you. Councillor Bowe. Councillor Bell.
So just as a follow-on, please. So if you want me to stand or for these?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So just as a follow-on from Councillor Flynn, if we do adopt it so that we don't have the sunset clause take effect, and there's something that we've kind of overlooked, it's been a comprehensive task that everyone, including the staff and the councils, have put a lot of time into, and I might say a lot of community members with their submissions. So if we did find something we haven't quite got right, are we able to review a certain section or piece?
Mr. O'Brien?
Has to be a review.
So even if we'd like missed urban or something like we have on this, you have to go through the whole process. Wow.
Yeah, you'd have to go because you're reviewing the whole law itself. So. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So my questions. I am concerned about the change in the penalty units. Like on one here on page 26I. It says that the first offence, a maximum of 20 penalty units, and the penalty unit was, what, $161? So 20 times that's, what, 3,000 whatever? I haven't got my calculator with me, but... So I am concerned about the level of penalty units, given that the unit is going up all the time. Number 30 and number 31.
Councillor Bell, we might just...
One at a time?
Yeah, we might just address that one. Mr O'Brien, is there a hierarchy of dealing with issues? Do we go straight to fines or is it at the very bottom, the very last resort?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, basically there's the hierarchy of higher education and so forth, and obviously if there's non-compliance, it can lead to a penalty at a point in time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. My second thing is in number 30 and number 31, where it talks about a person must comply with a spoken or written direction. I'm really concerned about the spoken because there's no kind of proof of what's been spoken. I just wondered if how that works, legally. Because it's one person's word against another. So do you want to answer that question?
Yeah. Okay, Mr O'Brien.
Through you, Madam Mayor, this has been a particular issue. We're currently looking at, and it's not dissimilar to a lot of councils, introducing body cameras for our community safety staff where we can actually record what is happening in a particular interaction to protect both parties. It's basically evidence to provide that the way the instructions are given and what the response has been in that regard.
So on that note, are we better to leave spoken out? What's the timeline on that?
Through Madam Mayor, there's still to be finalised the policy to make sure it's in line with privacy and so forth. So at this stage, we're certainly close to that, but we're not at that point at this particular stage, but that will provide an extra level of... we'll actually record the spoken word in that situation.
Is there an implication if we take spoken out?
There is, because at the moment we haven't got the body cameras in action. So once this is, if we adopt the proposed local law, we still need to, we've been carrying out that way currently. So we've got to bring on board that new technology.
And the comment made earlier about education. So I get if you want to educate and give people that, some sort of a warning or time to remedy the situation, you have to speak to them. So I think it's probably important that we keep it.
I'm just concerned about how that's working in practice at the moment, but that's for another day. If we wanted to expedite that, that would be something we'd look at in the budget, would it? Okay, thank you.
So.
I've done the cars one. The 42... through you, Madam Mayor, I asked Mr Barler about parking on nature strips and he said that it wasn't in there, but I really believe that that's what 42 is telling me. So it says it can't be on other than, so if it's on the nature strip, it's actually, that's applying to that.
Mr O'Brien,
yes, I think And through Madam Mayor, the way I read it is, you know, that obviously any public land. So, yeah, so it can't be in any other public land. It can be on a roadway or a car park, but not on the... So this particular clause doesn't deal with nature strips because nature strips are covered in the road rules. So this doesn't... So the local law doesn't actually talk about the nature strips.
But I'm a ratepayer, and I straight away thought that, like, my nature strips council land... So, and that's what it says, a person shall not cause or permit a motor vehicle to be on council land other than those things listed.
Yeah, so that's yeah. So by that implication, yes, it's true, and that's what the road rule says, that you can't actually park on nature strip. So unless it's a designated car park in a nature strip, which you can have those indented bays, parking bays, you can park there, which means that they have to be constructed parking bays, not on a like on a grassed area.
Okay.
So could this
local law is silent on that road.
So could this be like down at the river or something where, you know, council manages it on behalf
that's
of the
right, yeah. So any, you know, so people parking on soil parking, unless, you know, we designate
yeah, that's fine
a,
there
as an event space, that's different. Yeah. So people should be using, you know, parking within a car park. Designated car parks are within the road.
So how when an average person is reading this, are they going to understand that? Do we need to insert a bracket or something for that to be clear? Or because the way that reads to me now, it reads all council land, which includes the nature strip.
Yes, but you're legally not allowed to park on the nature strip because of the Road Management Act.
But people are parking on the nature strips everywhere,
yeah.
And it's going to be a huge problem. It's a huge implication for the safety of travel in some streets, and I really believe it's been let go or left the way it's been because of the safety on those streets. They're busy roads.
Sure. Yeah. Again, as I said, I mean, so the requirement to not park on the nature strip originates from the road safety.
I know that.
And we can't, and the local law can't actually override the state legislation.
Okay.
So we can't put anything here which overrides another the road safety rules.
Okay, so I'm just concerned about educating the public how that.
Well, and that's where the conversation with the.
Okay.
But it's more likely to be the police taking
the.
Having that conversation than our local laws officers because it's not covered.
48B says unsolicited document. I looked up the definitions and I couldn't see what unsolicited document was.
Something you didn't ask for would be my interpretation of unsolicited.
Well,
I didn't contact.
Could we all have a different interpretation? I'm just saying, do we need to actually put it in the definitions? So it's 48B.
So that, Mr. O'Brien, I'm assuming that's a legal term, unsolicited document. Do we need to put the definition of unsolicited in the
definition? The unsolicited is not asked for, given or done voluntarily. Unsolicited junk mail is the reference in the dictionary as such. So that's considered something that will help with the definition. Having that definition, I don't see that as an issue. We can note that we add that in as part of the council resolution.
I'm happy if something, I just wanted to say that it's clear to people what it is.
Okay. Any others?
We've done the registered motor vehicles. And just on 58, please, with regards to a vehicle weighing more than 4.5 tonnes, I realise what the aim of it is. I'm just considering, it does say during daylight hours, but I'm just wondering if a person is a truck driver and they actually are a night driver and they have left their trailer at the whatever freight yard and they've driven their prime mover home to sleep during the day, does that mean that they're in breach? I just am aware of some, that's all.
Please, Mr. O'Brien.
Through Madam Mayor, it basically talks about reasonable period of time which the vehicle is parked during daylight hours. So the key thing there is, so it's talking about not allowed to cause or suffer a vehicle more than 4.5 tonnes, kept, stored or repaired on any land in residential zones which applied. So basically when it comes to vehicles, they should be parking elsewhere and using a car or whatever to travel home to their place of residence rather than parking those heavy vehicles in streets.
I have a concern with that.
Is that under the Road Management Act?
No, it's considered an amenity issue. It also can impact on if you've got narrow streets, for instance.
Yep.
Appropriateness of having those vehicles in those streets.
So you, Madam Mayor, the ones I'm referring to actually back up their driveway, so they're not on the streets. But does this mean that they can't, because it's not, it says on any land in residential loans, in zones, so that means they can't even be in their own driveway off the...
That's correct.
This is on public land.
It says any land.
I'm concerned about being on their own residential land if they're just home sleeping for the day.
Do we have discretion to change this?
I have to take that notice because whether it's conflicting, if it's in a local law, it shouldn't be conflicting. But when you talk about inland residential zones, so you technically think that would apply to driveways. It's whether it impacts on local amenity. That's the key thing. Vehicles that size being parked on residential land.
Has it changed from the existing local law? Is this the same as the existing local law, or has it changed?
I'd have to go back and reference that, yeah.
Madam Mayor, could I please ask somebody who might know, maybe Mr Martin might, would a normal prime mover be over 4.5 tonnes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Why don't you just change the tonnage?
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to.
Ian, what would the standard?
So, can I suggest,
can we just adjourn? For a moment while we have this discussion.
Yep.
Someone to move that we adjourn. Councillor Flynn, Councillor Power, all those in favour. Thank you. Thank you. That is carried. Okay, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. It's on the screen for all of us to see. Could I have someone to move that motion? Councillor Ross. Sorry, Councillor Ross, do you really want to read all of that or we just take it as read? Could I have someone second that motion?
Yes.
Councillor Bell. We can do that, can't we? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is this motion opposed? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Okay. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Local laws are essential, I guess, for keeping order in our community, and it's important that we have them, and it's also important though, that we just do our community and keep the amenity for our quality of living in our municipality. And I hope we've struck that balance and listened to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Bell.
Thanks, Madam. I'd just like to say that we do need local laws. They're a necessity, and I'd encourage the community to actually educate themselves and to ask us if they are confused about something. There's been a lot of work going to these. It's been a huge review, and I commend everybody, actually, all the staff and all the councillors for all the input and the hours, and all the community for putting in extensive submissions, because it's been a lot of hours on everyone's part. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Following on from Councillor Bell, yes, thanks to everyone who has been involved, and I know we as councillors have had a number of briefings relating to this local law, many hours spent reading, reviewing. Thank you to the 78 people who put in submissions. That certainly has supported, and we've taken on board what those people have said. We as councillors have spent an extensive amount of time considering the community feedback in our deliberations to develop that, and there's three extra items here in the recommendation. I think plays to that we've certainly taken on board the feedback that, whether it's been written, verbal, that we've received. So thanks to all involved.
Thank you, Councillor Flynn. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I'd like to follow on with Councillor Bell and Councillor Finn said that like to say thank you to everyone who contributed to the local laws process. We've gone through the local laws through the council briefings and discussed and made changes where required. As you can see, tonight it's been a lengthy process, and that's what sort of happened when we've gone to the briefing, because I think one of the briefings we discussed it and then went well and truly over time, and it's a very lengthy process, and I think we came up with a process where I think Madam Mayor did, and we went through it stage by stage, all the different clauses, and local laws are important, and that's all I'm going
to
say.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Ross, is there anything you'd like to say to close out?
No, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. That being the case, councillors, let's put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand where I can see it. Those against? Thank you. That is carried. 9.9, Investment Attraction and Growth Report. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the Investment Attraction and Growth Report for September 2021. Councillors, before we start, we'll go through and see if anyone's got any questions. Councillor Haynell. Councillor Bell.
No.
Councillor Bowe. Councillor Flynn. Councillor Power. Councillor Ross. Yes. Okay, thank you.
In relation to Grampians Tourism with the new Breathe promotions, does that include Horsham on their maps and promotions? Do you know?
Mr. O'Brien, Mr. Barlow, are you able to answer that?
Through you, Madam, my understanding it does, but I'm happy to get to just clarify that point.
It should include, through you, Madam Mayor, yes, it should, but I'll take it on notice, Councillor Ross. But I have actually asked them to provide a more detailed report on all the activities that are currently happening in Horsham in terms of the Grampians Tourism, so we'll pick it up as part of that process.
Thank you. Okay, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that? Thank you, Councillor Power.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The recommendation is that
council receive and note the Investment Attraction and Growth Report for September 2021.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. I saw your hand come up. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? Thank you, Councillor Powers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't want to hold the meeting up, but something like this is very important for us to talk about. And I'd like to, first off, congratulate the employees, Fiona Gorman and Kevin O'Brien, for the input that's been put into this report, and it's very pleasing to see. Seeing we're now coming out of COVID and that people are starting to move around again. Also, the VCAT, the Alexander Avenue proposal there is now 25 dwellings. I think that's acceptable to everybody now, and I think that it'll be really good that we actually start building more housing in Horsham. As it says there, the decision confirms the importance of housing diversity and the need to accommodate for changing neighbourhood character in the urban areas of Horsham. Then we drop down and we see the planning applications have increased. And the value of the housing planning permits, planning applications has increased significantly, as you can see. September 2021, it's $8 million plus dollars compared to last year, 2020, of just under $2 million. I think that's fantastic. It shows that people want to build in Horsham, want to live in Horsham. It's fantastic. The permits are the same. They're up $1 million there. Fantastic to see. Councillor Ross mentioned Breathe, the Grampians Tourism Messaging. I have virtually the same question. Everybody everywhere else there, Space to Breathe, mentioned Central and Western Victoria. It doesn't say Horsham, says Ballarat, Bendigo, Warrnambool. So hopefully our name, Horsham Rural, gets a mention there in future with Grampians Tourism News. I had something else, Mark, here. Yes, The increase in numbers going to Mount Arapiles, I think, is fantastic. In the Little Desert, the Silo Art Trail still continues to be an excellent draw card. That's really fantastic to see when people come and stay here. But I keep on saying we need to do something here in Horsham, that people come to Horsham to be in Horsham, not just to stay overnight and go to Mount Arapiles and then go somewhere else, or go on Silo Art and stay at Mildura or Bendigo or places like that. Yes, it's great to see an increase in numbers. We just need to be really positive about the fact that people want to come to Horsham, to be in Horsham, and visit the surrounds from Horsham. Go to Wartook, go to Nadimak, go out to the Jung Market when it's available. We've got to find something to pimp an eye on, of course, apart from the football netball club out there. But it'd be really good if we can encourage people to come and actually do possibly a week in and around Horsham. So to me, this report is actually really good, and we're getting them on a monthly basis, which is even better for us to actually see where, what we are doing as councillors is the right thing for our community. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I second your motion. It's really good that this keeps the fingers on the pulse of what's happening in Horsham. And just comparing the figures here, it's over a fourfold increase for this quarter. That's a pretty amazing result. And it means if we keep that growth up, we're going to rapidly grow as a regional city. And it's a really good sign. I hope it's sustainable. I hope we can keep it up. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Bowe.
Ms. Gorman and Mr. O'Brien for the report again, it's a good, great report to know what's happening in Horsham, and I see with the CAD new conversation started. It'd be great to sort of see what comes from that, and I saw having a look at some of the numbers of people coming through. And some people are sort of exploring their own backyard is what we've got instead of sort of travelling to another place. But that's probably because of the restrictions. But hopefully they'll still explore our backyard and then encourage when they go somewhere to say Chuka, encourage them to come back and visit Horsham. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Bowe. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor Powell, is there anything you'd like to say in closing? Okay, thank you. That being the case, councillors, let's put this motion to vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. 9.10, Chief Executive Officer's Operational Report. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the Chief Executive Officer's Operational Report for November 2021. Should that be October? Councillors, do we have any questions? Councillor Haynell? Yeah. Councillor Bell?
Madam Mayor, just through you to Mr. Barlow. I'm just wondering, I often read these things where Mr. Barlow's been at meetings and whatnot, and I look at some of the topics and I'd really like a little bit more information. I just wondered whether Mr. Barlow actually takes notes at those that could be shared with councillors. Not this report, it needs to stay brief, but just so that we're more informed on the, because I note that the new campaign for the return of the passenger rail, which is one of my subjects that I'm really passionate about, and there's a few other things there, and I just would really like to have a bit more information if that's possible.
We'll add them to a briefing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
Councillor Bowe, do you have any questions? Councillor Flynn, Councillor Power.
Just one.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's in relation to Part C projects and events, the business breakfast. Just wondered, with the numbers that have turned up this year, is there some way that we can improve the numbers to come to that? I think it's a very important breakfast for councils and also for the business people of Horsham, but for the numbers that turned up the other day, was nearly more councillors than business people. Hmm. Any suggestions from staff or from you, Mr. Barr?
Well, we can certainly take that on again, board, Madam Mayor, and so your point taken. Obviously, now with this lot of effort, which goes in organising these events, and we can't get the parties, who want to target, well, perhaps we just do review it and we look at it, so we'll do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Councillor Ross, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bell.
Madam Mayor, the council receive and note this Chief Executive Officer's operational report for November 21.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Flynn. Is anyone opposed to that motion? Does anyone want to speak to this motion? That being the case, councillors, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I can see it. Thank you. That is carried. Councillor reports and acknowledgements. Can I please have someone move that we suspend standing orders? Councillor Flynn, Councillor Bowe. Those in favour, please raise your hand so I can see them. Thank you. That is carried. Councillor Haynell, do you have a report that you would like or acknowledgement?
No.
Councillor Bell?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to, with regards to Tidy Towns first, congratulate them on their hard work and passionate work for the Tidy Towns Committee for scooping so many awards for our Horsham Rural City. They demonstrate clearly the impact that passionate community members can have on our city. The Volleyball Association, I'd like to congratulate them for bravely taking on the first tournament following COVID lockdowns. There was action at three different locations in the city to cater for the event with a flow of social connection and benefits for our local community. Thank you also for inviting councils to hear more about their association and the sport of volleyball locally. Also, the missed opportunities due to lack of appropriate facilities to host higher level events. It was a really interesting discussion. And Kanemaru, looking forward to our city coming alive again this weekend with the Kanemaru Festival, which has once again been modified to suit the current situation. Hence, the closure of Firegrey Street will not be occurring, and all attending who are 12 years and over will need to show proof of vaccination or an official medical exemption. It's exciting to see events and sporting tournaments and things starting. It feels like there's some life starting to happen. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to follow on with what Councillor Bowe said about different events and sporting events happening because I know I went to some on council's behalf and some in my private capacity, and I'd just like to say it's awesome to see live entertainment and sports events and markets happening again, people getting out and about and enjoying what the best of what our community has to offer. I really want to give out a shout out to close to Horsham Volleyball and sporting clubs have been their competitions on the go. Shout out to some local entertainers, the Horsham World Women's Band, who played in May Park. It was a lovely setting. It looked like it was going to rain, but again, it held off. Well done for those guys. It was ideal with the cafe there, and you sort of see the people listening and music. They really enjoyed it. And to the RM showcase, I've been here over the many years, and it's a great honour to honour a great man who I believe one of my mentors, Richard Morris, and the local talent that was on that stage. I was up the back wanting to deal on stage and all that to be with them. It's fantastic to see and hear local talent playing again and seeing the community enjoying the moment. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Bowe. Councillor Flynn. Councillor Power.
Thank you, Mayor. Very quickly, just a couple of
acknowledgements with the Volleyball Association for what they did on the weekend. I thought that was rather fantastic. The people had put together the market down behind Kmart there, I think it was yesterday. Sorry?
Rotary Club of Horsham East.
Oh, my apologies, but congratulations to Rotary East. Also, but right at this moment, my thoughts are with people coming out of COVID in relation to their mental health, and in that then falls into domestic violence as well. So hopefully people get out and about, as I said, with Sunday with the market there. Down the street on Saturday, when I was down there for a short period of time, there seemed to be a lot of people. Saturday night, where I did work, there was quite a few people out and about early on, or, you know, around the midnight area. There was young people out and about, and There's people my vintage too that were out and about. So it's really good to see people on the first night or the first weekend after COVID actually get out and start enjoying themselves. I do believe our numbers will get greater as Christmas comes on. So I hope it's a really happy festive season, just not for ourselves, but for everybody that owns a business in and around Horsham. And when I say that, it's the people that run the Jung Market out there. It's the people out at Wartook. It's the people at Natty Muck that rely on people travelling around. I believe and I hope this Christmas is a very special Christmas for our mental health and also to reduce the numbers in domestic violence by everybody getting out and enjoying themselves in a respectful manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Ross.
But that was reported. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Could I have someone move that we resume standing orders? Councillor Flynn, Councillor Powell. All those in favour? Thank you. That is carried. Could someone please move that we receive the reports, please? Councillor Powell, Councillor Flynn. All those in favour? Thank you. That is carried. Item 11, urgent business. There is no urgent business. Item 12, petitions and joint letters. There are no petitions or joint letters. Item 13, procedural business. The purpose of agenda item 13.1 is to receive and note the informal meetings of councillors for the council briefing meetings held on the 3rd, 8th, 15th and 17th of November. There are no documents to be sealed at 13.2. There are no documents inward correspondence at 13.3. And there are no council committee minutes at 13.4. Councillors, we have a recommendation in front. Is anyone prepared to move that as a motion? Councillor Bowe.
Thank you, Member. I move that council receive and note the agenda items 13.1, informal meetings of councillors, recordings of meetings, 13.2, sealing of documents, 13.3, inward correspondence, and 13.4, councillor, committee minutes. Thank you.
Councillor Bowe. Can I have a seconder for that motion, please? Councillor Flynn. Is anyone opposed to this motion? Does anyone wish to speak to this motion? That being the case, councillors, we'll put this motion to vote. All those in favour, please show your hand. Thank you. That is carried. There are no notice of motion, but there are confidential items on the agenda for consideration tonight. I now ask members of the gallery to please leave so that the meeting can move into confidential matters. Can someone move, please, that we go into confidential? Councillor Power, Councillor Bowe. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you. That is carried.